Good afternoon, Adrian.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, well, thank you.
So what makes a song timeless?
Yeah, it's a combination of two factors. First of all, we know it's got to be something that was around when you yourself were around about kind of age 16 to 24. It doesn't have to have been released then, but it just has to be the kind of music that you were exposed to at that time, or at least sound like it. The second thing, though, is it needs to stick around. It's one of these things whereby kind of, you know, by being famous for a long time, it seems to be the case that music becomes regarded as being great. So I did some work a few years ago where we asked people to nominate the greatest people in particular fields and also just the people they like most in particular fields. And what really distinguished the list of the greatest versus the list of the famous is that the greatest ones are ones who themselves have done something that's kind of changed the field, but also have just done work that's simply been popular in their field for a long period of time. So it's as though we as a population say to ourselves, because we've liked this particular thing for so long, it must be great. It has to be important, not just something that we enjoy. And so it's a combination of those two factors.
Yeah, definitely. And songs that are deemed as timeless can be popular amongst younger generations that weren't even born at the time of the song being released. So how have classic hits managed to stay relevant?
Yeah, the crucial thing is that they stay on the radio, that they stay in, if you like, you know, in the face of the public. So, for example, if you look at, say, I don't know, even classical music, you know, yes, people who are going to be, you know, who are the great classical music composers, they'll say Beethoven, Mozart, and so on. And that's because that's the music that within classical music you're still hearing today. I mean, it's the same thing with Paul McCartney on Carpool Karaoke there. It was really obvious just looking at the reaction of the people in Liverpool there when he was going around town. You know, he stayed that popular with people because his music is still out there. You know, he hasn't had a number one hit for a long time now, for many, many years, but nonetheless, because he's around, his music's still around. Consequently, as far as, you know, we're all concerned, he's still one of the great names in music.
Yeah, I do think it's an interesting point. And streaming service Deezer have found that people stop discovering new music at age 30 on average. So why is it that as we progress in age, we seem to hold on to the concept of familiarity?
Yeah, to some extent we do and to some extent we don't. So as you say, we tend to do that, or at least we kind of stop actively hunting around. However, we know it's also very much a function of people's personality. We know that the higher that any one person scores on a dimension called openness to experience, the more likely they are to keep looking for new music. So, for example, you know, if any one given person scores relatively high on openness to experience, you know, they don't fall into that category. They do keep searching for new music and will find themselves not necessarily on top of what's, say, on the charts in any given week, but they're still listening to new music as it comes out. So it's not this hard cutoff or anything like as hard a cutoff as you might think.
And Paul McCartney himself has once said pop music is the music of today. Do you think that today's popular hits will be considered classics in the future?
I do, because as long as they stay in the face of the public, that's the driving factor. So I think the danger with streaming services is, of course, as we all of us have access to goodness knows how many millions of tracks, it's very hard for one individual track these days to gain that same degree of public prominence because it's got a lot more competition. But as soon as a song starts to cut through that, then it falls subject to exactly all these same rules. And like I say, it's, you know, you look again at the reaction that someone like Paul McCartney gets, or, you know, back, you know, from when he was kind of at the absolute peak of his fame in the mid-1960s and how that survived. There's no reason to assume that same process wouldn't apply to somebody who's, you know, virtually or getting on for being as famous as that today as well. Those kind of people are always going to cut through and be timeless. Where it's more difficult are for these, you know, kind of tier B, tier C acts to kind of get their music up to that same level of public prominence so that they also remain timeless.
Yeah, definitely. How do you think that artists can have timeless music like we have seen in the past from the Beatles and ABBA?
Yeah, there seems to be kind of a couple of factors that are in there. It seems one of the crucial things is that you start off simple. Don't make your music too complicated in the first instance. And that's how you instantly cut through to the widest possible audience. However, we also know that over time, you've got to then become more and more complex in your music. You've got to give the audience something new, something fresh to keep listening to. And in particular, you've got to keep challenging them to some extent. So if you just keep putting out simple music, eventually people will just get bored and walk away. But you can bring that audience with you on your musical career by becoming increasingly complex, just step by step by step. And the Beatles are a great example of that. The Beatles emphatically embodied that across their entire career. Their music becomes much, much, much more complex as you move from, you know, the period from Please, Please Me right the way through to Abbey Road.
Yeah, it definitely is an interesting point. And thank you so much for coming onto our show.
You're welcome.